Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. This is side two of broadcast number 682, December the 31st, 1984. When I spoke of these 14 larger categories, I avoided mentioning particular names that fit into that picture. Every week on these broadcasts, I share names with you of particular people doing things that I think are usually horrendous in terms of crimes and the cover-up of crimes. And they fit into, out of the 14 categories, maybe 6 or 10 overlapping different categories. They jump from one to the other, and that is the point about the particular segments of where they fit in, that they play many roles and that you can't put them into one particular section, such as John J. McCloy just isn't a corporate lawyer or a CIA lawyer. He fits into all these other segments, and that's why when I did the Larry McDonald Pies, I say, when I talk about a particular thing and I refer to a person's background and jump from these different categories, you can have a pretty good idea now if you put this little puzzle in front of you or learn to put it together after you cut it apart and play with it. Then I can run down some of these categories and you'll see where they fit. On the anniversary of John Kennedy's assassination, just this past November, Joseph Kraft, the columnist, had an article that was particularly offensive to me. It was in the Washington Post and the Monterey Herald, its syndicated column, titled, A Wound That Is Healed. This is Joseph Kraft. And he made note of the fact that there was no public ceremony this time for the death anniversary of Kennedy's death, that the last funeral was last year when Ronald Reagan attended services with members of the Kennedy family. That officially became what he called sarcastically the last funeral. He said, time serves as the great obliterator. Bitterness has faded away, and no serious person can now believe the legend of Camelot. Genuine achievements of Kennedy's can stand out. Ronald Reagan calls attention to them, and then he quotes Mr. Tocqueville, the Frenchman, who once observed that a nation can die from knowing too much history. What Joseph Kraft doesn't say is that a nation can die from not studying history. He says it dies from knowing too much history. Kraft went on, one of our national blessings is putting the past behind us. Aren't we lucky? You know, this is a great blessing of ours. We put the past behind us. He said the burden of Kennedy years was particularly hard to bear, so now the load is a little lighter. We can all heave a sigh of relief. My comment to Joseph Kraft is that as long as the people who killed John Kennedy are out there on the streets and used that coup d'etat in this country to set up those 14 categories that I just listed for you, or use those categories, or was employed as part of that operation, you cannot breathe a sigh of relief. You should be eternally vigil. And the time of being vigil is actually over. It's been 21 years, and I use the broad, literal you out there, whoever is listening, not individually, have sat around on wishful dreams, thinking these matters would take care of themselves. And this cancer, and you see the sheet of those categories, if you subscribe to the tapes, you've heard me mention them now on the air, this is a multi-headed cancer in the United States, and anyone in their right mind would never breathe a sigh of relief. Ronald Reagan was on the Rockefeller Committee and covered up the murder. Gerald Ford was on the Warren Commission and covered up the murder. Richard Nixon was the apparent heir, and these people killed so that he could become president of the United States. He wanted to be in 1960. Richard Helms is alive. James Angleton is alive. John McCloy, John McCone, Theodore Shackley, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller. They all know that Kennedy was murdered, and they wanted that. And members of the Vatican, Cardinal Spellman is dead, but people in the Vatican didn't want the policies of John Kennedy. They didn't want existence with the Soviet Union. Some are dead and some are alive. And as long as these people lie to you about who killed John Kennedy and take the profits from that murder for their particular purposes or to control the world, don't think that your load is now a little lighter. That's one of the things you could do. You could write to Washington Post, to Joseph Kraft. I'll give you suggestions if you want to become an activist. Your homework assignment for this week is to say, how dare you say that history, nations die from knowing too much. This country is dying because it doesn't know the truth. And everything that's happening here that I've listed and figured out, that I've run down very quickly for you, just at the top level, scratching the surface, comes from your not knowing enough of your history. And I'm sick and tired of these Joseph Krafts and their smug ideas about the way history should be run. He not only wrote that article, but then, pertinent to an important subject that figures again to that piece, the puzzle pieces I put together, Joseph Kraft, just a week after Kennedy's assassination, writes another column he wants us to forget again. If Lincoln was the great emancipator, Joseph Kraft is the great eraser. He's talking about Chancellor Helmut Kohl, who is worried, he's the head of the government in Germany, worried because the 40th anniversary is coming up to celebrate the end of World War II. And he flew to this country just a couple of weeks ago to make sure that Ronald Reagan have a policy or statements that did not interfere with the memory. He doesn't want too many people antagonistic to the memory of Nazi Germany. So Kraft writes this in the Washington Post, December the 6th. A chief purpose of the Kohl visit to Washington this past week, a week after Kennedy's death, was to argue for West Germany's inclusion in the 40th anniversary celebration of the victory of World War II on May the 8th. The Bonn government will be playing host to the Economic Summit of Western Democracies. Isn't that cute to have Germany be the host on the 40th anniversary? Kohl said he intends to visit a concentration camp. As a matter of fact, he bartered with Ronald Reagan. We'll both go to Dachau and acknowledge the horrors inflicted. I will acknowledge them. But, he said, they were inflicted in the name of Germany, you know, on to other people, not us. But he points out that 65% of the people now living in West Germany were not even alive at the time of the surrender, and he wants to bury the past. Again, burying the past. Well, Helmut Kohl went to Israel just recently, and some people, survivors of the Holocaust and the concentration camps, approached him about this, and he told them, we want to bury the past. It's over now. We can't live in the past. And a columnist who described the meeting between them said that somebody brought up the subject of, well, why are we blamed for killing Christ? If the past is the past, why do you hate the Jews, these Jews today, 2,000 years later, for putting Christ on the cross? If he wants to forget the past, why doesn't he do away with the passion plays at Oberammergau and this terribly anti-Semitic ritual they go through every year? Now, it's okay to bury the past, but the past isn't the past. Not in Germany, not today, not at all. Another article that brings that out very clearly is, again, this is from the LA Times, called The Flick Affair, A Scandal Jars West Germany. This was December the 7th, the same week that Kraft wants to forget the past. You may have been reading about the Flick Affair. It's been going on 4 years without too much publicity. This is the LA Times. It says, in the book, The Arms of Krupp, by William Manchester, he tells about the Krupp steel empire that's one of a kind, as if it was one of a kind. But as post-war Germany's biggest political scandal evolves and unfolds, there's a similar class family, the Friedrich Flick family. Now, William Manchester covered up the Kennedy assassination and the death of a president, so he plays a nice role in writing a book on the Krupps, but no long treatise of 300, 400, 500 pages on the Flick family. And it goes into the fact the aristocratic, the Flicks, began early in the 1900s, and it's the story of an unscrupulous entrepreneur who gave heavy contributions to the Nazi, funded them heavily. Mr. Flick was a defendant in Nuremberg at the war trials. He employed slave labor as did our NASA scientists, Mr. Von Braun and Walter Dornberger. He emerged from prison. Today, he has a $3 billion business empire. He has a vast array of products, from toilet paper to battle tanks, getting ready for World War III. The empire continued after the death of Daddy Frederick Carl Flick in 1972 and is now under the control of his son by the same name. The Flick-Flam family is virtually unknown outside the country. They've been kept very quietly obscure, but now there's a scandal that's been going on, this says, for 3 years, almost four. First, they evaded taxes by about $8 million by paying public officials $200,000. They took that bribe to get out of their taxes. And then there is the scandal of the sale of their automobile company, the Damier-Benz Automobile Company that they had. A good hunk of that I had on a broadcast about a year or two ago. They put about $46 million into W.R. Grace & Company. The Nazi Flick family owns 28% of W.R. Grace, and Mr. Grace is telling us how to cut our costs domestically and save money when his business partner and a good hunk of Grace comes from slave labor in Germany, and they would know how to cut the cost of paying wages in this country or anywhere else, not only wages, but for housing, medical care, education, and so forth. Now, the Flicks, the father, had a seven-year sentence at Nuremberg. He joined the Nazi Party very early, long before it was fashionable to join the Nazi Party. He was one of 40 businessmen that helped Adolf Hitler, and the members of the elite Schutzstaffel, S-C-H-U-T-Z-S-T-A-F-F-E-L. It's a part of the SS, of Heinrich Himmler's SS. It was Himmler's closest circle of friends. Himmler is the most notorious person for ordering the torture and the murder of people. Heinrich Himmler was the person who attended the meetings with Mr. Flick, who gave economic advice and money to the Nazi cause by way of 40 different corporations, and one of the original ones was the Flick family. The father was released from Nuremberg prison by John J. McCloy of the Warren Commission, the High Commissioner in Germany, from the United States. And the LA Times has a part of the story. It says, in the 22 years after the release from prison, from 1950 to 1972, Flick rebuilt his empire and helped fuel West Germany's famed economic miracle of the 60s and 70s. Well, the economic miracle was put together by Wild Bill Donovan and the World Commerce Corporation, whose sole purpose was to rebuild Germany. We'll get to that in 1 minute. There was no economic miracle except that the Mellons and the Morgans and the DuPonts and the many, many corporations in the United States and around the world wanted Germany right back in business. So with John McCloy releasing the top Nazis, Hallmar Schacht, and Mr. Flick, and Otto Ambrose, and Hermann Apps, the whole gang, they were back in business again. So the point is that Mr. Flick is now reaping in millions, billions of dollars, making weapons, arming for World War III, and then it goes on to say, among its many holdings companies, the holding company is the chemical company Dynamite Don't Nobel. And they have heavy machinery enterprise, and it gives the names of some of their German companies. And it said about they have 70 other subsidiaries are visible in the United States, investment with 28% of W.R. Grace. Now, J. Peter Grace, through Mr. Millikan and his energy, put up the money or got started the Western goals that was exposed with the Los Angeles Police Department, Larry McDonald, the computer, with the names of law-abiding citizens to go into national, international computers of anyone possibly on the left or labor organizations or people complaining about police abuses. A big hunk of their money goes there. Mr. Hermann Apps, their co-partner, is the banker brought into the Vatican to help John Paul II. And the scandal in Germany has to do with Mr. Flick buying the heads of the government, every one of them. They're under investigation. Several have retired, and more will retire. And it said, with the exception of the Green Party, the heads of the government in Germany are being exposed as being paid. Politicians bought for the parties to run Germany, and that's why the missiles are based, aimed at the Soviet Union now, ready for a World War III, and this party is not dead. The whole point is that Mr. Kohl's belief that Germany is over, that these people existing today didn't live then, their children live. The Flicks had a son that went on. Fritz Kramer has a son that's in the National Security Council. There's a continuity lineage of children, fathers and sons and daughters, and they are continuing. Even Mrs. Carl Wolf is active with the Nazis and the intelligence community, even though SS Carl Wolf has passed away. So Mr. Kraft says, forget it, it's over. And the same week he says that, the Flair Fair, which has been going on, is in the Los Angeles Times. And then the Washington Post had another story that week about the Bonn government going tense, about the Nazi surrender anniversary and the fact that they may visit Dachau prison. Bonn is trying to get the United States to assure them that when they celebrate the 40th anniversary at the end of World War II, they will make the lines clear between a democracy being put in as against the fascists being defeated. In other words, the gist of the press and media is already being written by the Germans of what we're to say, and that we are to be kindly to the vanquished, the victor to the vanquished, which includes Japan and Italy and West Germany. This is months, almost 6 months, 5 months away from the celebration, and they fly to the United States and use our editorial writers and our media and write the script of how they're to be perceived and how they're to come to the party. And then our American journalist tells us we should forget now who killed John Kennedy, and we should forget what happened in Germany, and everything is all right. And yet everything in the newspapers indicates that these people have had a continuity going on since the end of the war, and it began earlier at the end of World War I with the rearming of Germany. Now, a month ago on broadcast number 678, I was talking about the corporation that was formed, the World Commerce Corporation, that was formed after World War II was over, within a few days of the war, called the World Commerce Corporation. And they changed their name officially to that title April the 2nd, 1947. It had another name before. It was the British American Canadian Corporation in 1945, and then it became the World Commerce Corporation. And I referred to William Stevenson, known as Intrepid, the former head of British intelligence, and Mr. Donovan, the law offices of William Donovan of the OSS and a Knight of Malta, representing and forming the corporation, and Edward Stettinius, Secretary of State, having an investment in the corporation, and I listed various people involved in that corporation. That was several weeks ago, and I also, in that same broadcast, talked about John Connally from Texas, the former governor of Texas, who was a member of the Permandex operation and close to the people of the World Commerce Corporation. Now, I came across that information in the book on Wild Bill Donovan called The Last Hero. Then David Emery's mind began clicking very fast, and he called me right away because most of you researchers know in the last years since 1970, I've had the Torbett document, which is the story of the assassination cabal. I've shared it with you over and over again on the air, and I just want to read you a few pages from the Torbett document. It's available from research from Tom Davis and Aptos. Chapter 8. Section A, the Tyrall Club, T-R-Y-A-L-L, in Jamaica, and the World Commerce Corporation. That's what the chapter is called. And it says, the genesis of the munitions cartel, this is written in 1970, that was still growing, if you think that the resurgence of Germany or Nazism is dead. The genesis of the munitions cartel is found in the following quotations from H. Montgomery Hyde's book, Room 3603. It's a biography of the experience of Sir William Stevenson during and after World War II. After Stevenson retired as head of British intelligence, he moved down to Jamaica. In 1945, when the war was over, Stevenson had gone to live in Jamaica, and World Commerce, the British American Canadian Corporation was formed in May of 1945, as I said before. He went down to Montego Bay. He had the finest house on the island. He was visited by several friends, including Ian Fleming, the old the 007, Lord Beaverbrook, and so forth. List Noel Coward and some of his friends, Sir William Wiseman. For a year or so, he didn't seem interested in the outside world, but then he began to get active. He had a little year off after the war, and then he began to meet with some of the financiers and associates of the past, such as Sir Rex Benson, Sir Charles Hambrough in London, General Donovan, that's Wild Bill Donovan, whose law firm set up the World Commerce Corporation in Washington, and a number of Canadian and American industrialists like Edward Stettinius, former chairman of the U.S. Steel Corporation. So if you have any doubt that the Torba document isn't talking about the same World Commerce Corporation or the British American Canadian Corporation, forget it. This is the same group. Stettinius was former chairman of U.S. Steel. He formed the British American Canadian Corporation. Now, this is in the Torba document that I've had since 1970. He formed that, and the Donovan book says that he had put up the money in that. Stettinius helped it. And they developed the World Commerce Corporation, originally designed, this is what it was designed for, to fill the void left by the breakup of the big German cartels, which William Stevenson had helped, you know, to win over, they destroyed him by winning the war. Thus, he and his colleagues on the board raised an initial $1 billion, $1 billion, to help bridge over the breakdown in the foreign exchange and provide the tools and machinery and the know-how to develop untapped resources around the world. The North Jamaican property was later transformed to Trial, the exclusive club of John Connolly, Paul Radogodorovsky, and various people involved in the Kennedy assassination, including Albert Osborne, who allegedly was on the bus going down with Oswald to Mexico prior to the assassination. World Commerce Corporation received funds from the U.S. International Corporation Agency. World Commerce was set up in 1947 and worked closely with Clay Shaw in New Orleans and with the Trade Development Commission and with Permandex's World Trade Center. This is from the Torba document. George de Morenshield, that's the mentor of Lee Harvey Oswald, who introduced him to Ruth Payne. She got him the job at the Texas Book Depository, took him down to New Orleans, took Marina down to New Orleans, brought Marina back, was responsible for housing them and taking care of them. The introduction was from George de Morenshield, and a number of white Russians worked for the ICA, that is the International Cooperation Agency, and they had a knowledge of the subject of who was behind the conspiracy. Volume 24 of the Warren Commission hearings, page 642, goes into information about Albert Osborne at Trial, and that involved also Gordon Novell, who worked for Permandex. Gordon Novell, who is very visible these days, who called David Emery recently on the radio and infiltrated and moved into Larry Flint's home when Flint was writing articles on the Kennedy assassination. Now, I was identifying from this book, The Last Hero, the way that Germany was rearming after the war and the role of Permandex in setting them up again with the Nazis that Joseph Kraft says behind us. And this part is from the Torba document. Now, this brings up a very ticklish issue, the Torba document, that I want to share with you, because there are people involved in the research quotes who have suppressed it for these past 14 years, and they really should account for why they've suppressed it. I met Sylvia Maher in New York City. We had lunch at the United Nations where she was working. She wrote the book Accessories After the Fact. I said, do you have the Torba document? This was about 1976 when they were about to investigate the Kennedy assassination one more time. She said, no. I said, would you take it if I send it to you? She said, I will not accept it. I will not read it. I don't want it from you. I'm not interested in who killed Kennedy anymore. And then she proceeded to be an advisor on the House Select Committee on Assassinations. I called Mr. Blakey, The chief investigator, I tape record the conversation and have it here in my home. I said, do you have the Torbit documents when they started their $6 million investigation? He said, I won't tell you. I said, tell me if you have it. If you don't, I'll send it to you. He said, I'm not interested. I said, but you have $6 million to look into who killed John Kennedy. And he said, I'm going to hang up on you. And he did. And he was not interested in the Torbit document. Now, in the same book, The Last Hero, on Wild Bill Donovan, on page 800, it tells more about the World Commerce Corporation, because now we're talking about what Donovan set up and the Torbit document, the whole framework of who killed John Kennedy, all in one ball of wax. And just a couple of paragraphs in this book, it said, one of the elements of World Commerce Corporation was a commercial intelligence service that would be a business and a spy work, commercial intelligence service, now operating as a private commercial entities with the overt purpose of preventing the economic collapse of Europe with Germany. And in that puzzle I gave you in the first half of this broadcast, I have the corporate role in coups and elections, and this is where the IGT and the Ford and the General Motors and the corporations go into the spying activity, also the Lockheed Group. On the cover, they are a business group. As I say, they changed their name in 1947 when the CIA was formed, and Mr. Donovan, the head of the OSS, helped create this new CIA. They would use it as commercial intelligence service based on the wartime Anglo-American-Canadian intelligence, as I said. And their purpose was to help Germany. The underlying purpose was to prevent Russia from getting along with Germany, from establishing the Russo-German hegemony, which could rise after the collapse of Europe. And they quoted a particular person who said as early as 1904 that whoever controlled Russia and Germany would control the heartland of the world, that combination would be terrible. So therefore, the world commerce wanted to frustrate the chance that Germany and Russia would get along. And what they did was to set up a firm, the World Commerce Corporation, that one would submit offerings of raw material, supplies, equipment, required Germany to build up German production. Two, they would get bids for the production for commercial use, and they would find material available to export so that Germany right away could get into production. The Frederick Flicks could go right out of the Nuremberg prisons and begin their production, as did the Krupps, as did the Tysons, as did Axel Wenner-Gren. He wasn't a criminal. He was up from Sweden, but arming Hitler with ammunition. What they said was they would use existing plant and management facilities in Germany, that they were careful not to bomb, the IG Farbens and the various munitions makers, and it would be supplemented by material available and new equipment and raw equipment. World Commerce was Donovan's only hope of restoring his fortunes to the pre-war grandeur. And the book goes on to say that he didn't make much money off of it. But what happened was he set up the framework for these various operations that work today with Nazis overseas. Martin Bormann couldn't come home, but he knew where the money was. He had set up 750 corporations so he could mingle them. They could use the money from the Swiss banks when Evita Peron died. The mingling of the corporations, the spy network, and the forming of Permandex, the operation that was behind the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, that started the Operation Condor down in Chile, the death squads, the trained assassins that left Oaxaca, Mexico, and then went to South America and to South Africa when they were exposed, came out of these 14 heads of types of categories that I've given you on the first half of this broadcast. And when the war was over in May of 1945, the corporate levels were set up, and the whole purpose was to get Germany and also Japan, another, in quotes, enemy of ours. They were identified as using germ warfare, medical tests on prisoners, cruel tortures, freezing them alive, shooting them alive, injecting them with diseases. None of that mattered. We put them back in business. We funded them. We got ready to fight against the Soviet Union. Our generals wanted it. Our heads of states wanted it. And one of the processes of making the war possible is to kill those candidates that seem to be in the way of your general goals. They had their goals, and Kennedy was a candidate to be dead at the same time that they had earmarked other people, such as Patrice Lumumba or Pope John the 23rd. All of this fits very nicely together. As I say, it's an ugly picture, but in this past year, everything that I've studied, I can go back over the past and reread it and see the words, or I can read the documents I have, such as the Torba document, or I can take books that come out tomorrow, and now it all fits like a hand in a nice, snug glove. We have everything but the smoking gun, but the way that the columnists want you to forget about Kennedy, forget about Germany, and yet their murderous teams are combined more powerful and stronger than ever. Don't sit back and relax, and don't think that you die from too much history. As I said before earlier, you die from not enough history. Get it out, and the more you read, the better off you'll be. This is Mae Brussel. Have a very happy, good New Year, and thank you very much for many, many things that I've shared with you in the past year.